Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This isn't one of those like small little boutique alligators that are usually harvested for their meat. This is a large alligator.
Yes.
A big one. A
couple pair of boots.
And the belt and the wallet. He's big.
Mr. Henny will take Wally out for walks all the time for meet and greets at senior centers.
You can't take him to a senior center.
I mean,
he can't do that.
What a way to go, though, right?
He can't do that because he can outrun everybody there. They're on walkers.
Stop it. I mean,
the Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then we're live at Chatter on the first day back at work for furloughed workers. And they're going to have to pay 100% here. They're not going to get the 15% discount anymore.
For 2 weeks.
Wait a couple weeks.
Three weeks from now, they can get it again. We are at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, Jennifer Streets Northwest, on what appears to be a nice day before some terrible weather hits Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday and Thursday. Snow is coming. Basketball is on here tonight, I assume. Hockey, basketball, I have no idea. We'll have something for you. We have a nice crowd.
Thanks, everybody.
Outstanding.
Well, they're back to work now. They can come skip it and come to Chatter.
Cutting work in school. Gary Braun is here. Chris Eliz is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board, do the news. Kalila has surfaced from a different continent. I'm so happy to see her.
Yes.
Kalila now is married and living in Malaysia.
Sure.
I was opposed, not necessarily, yes, I was opposed to both of those. I was, but it's great to know that Kalila is doing well. And both those counts. Let us start with things I didn't know were on TV for 500 or things I didn't watch for any length of time for 600. One, I'll just say, I didn't even know. You know, ESPN no longer has any hockey rights whatsoever. I swear to you, I did not know the NHL All-Star Game was on. I had absolutely no idea. We never mentioned it on PTI. Did you know it was on? Did you watch
did
it?
Not.
I didn't know.
Did
I didn't know it was on.
In retrospect, I knew it was on because I saw the news of the MVP. That was it.
I would have watched a little because as an All-Star game, that's sort of fun. Because usually 15 to 10. Sort of fun. I didn't know about it. I saw that Crosby... I knew there was an All-Star game because I thought what Ovechkin did was wrong, dead solid wrong, in ducking the game. Especially when he was named captain of one of the squads and ducked the game. And I said on PTI, and I said, here, I think this is 100% wrong. But I had forgotten when it was on. Did you watch any? I watched zero.
None. I didn't know it was on. I knew Crosby was MVP afterward. I didn't know it was on.
Yes. I chose to watch the live version of Rent on Fox.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a night game? The All-Star game was a night?
No, I don't know.
It was...
Chris, you watched Rent and you said you hated it.
I hated it.
Dreadful.
First of all, really?
Terrible.
Well, it was...
I guess this wasn't their fault.
But
it's not a great show.
The whole appeal of these things, at least for me, is that it's live, so something could go terribly, horribly wrong.
Right. Something did go wrong.
That's why
live
I watch it
the night before.
But the night before in dress rehearsal, the guy who plays Roger, broke his foot somehow.
Fantastic!
Wow. Just trying to write that one song.
They had to. It's not like Cirque du Soleil. So they had to run the dress rehearsal because the guy was.
So it wasn't even live. Wait, they couldn't.
Well, it was live to tape.
But that doesn't count.
Well, it was live when they recorded it.
They couldn't even get someone. Only a million people have played that role.
That's what
before.
I was saying. Like they're in New York.
They had no understudies for these roles.
Well, that's just foolishness.
Nigel was available.
I was available.
Now the actor who played Mark was fantastic.
Yes, there were good parts. I'm not that familiar with it. Hour-ish that I watched back and forth, I did not think was well produced or terribly good. Michael knows more about musical theater.
So
than
I didn't watch Rent. Well,
can I just point out though, this the bloke broke his ankle or foot or whatever. I mean, you're in here with a fractured rib. You're still playing.
Shoot it up.
Go into the tent.
One night.
Second, I did watch a total of about 10 plays in a Pro Bowl. At various times, I would just go back and I'd see one play.
Nine more than most people.
The Pro Bowl is terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, I mean,
it is absolutely terrible. There's no reason to put it on. You cannot sell it. I know you try when you're doing the game. You say, oh, these guys are great, and they're not great. Nobody is tackling anybody. Just do yourself a favor. Make it flag football.
That would be appealing.
Make it flag football if you don't want to have 11 guys out there. I watched Ryan Kerrigan did not want, and I don't blame him.
Right,
don't touch me, bro. I'm not tackling anybody. I'm just going to stand here. You could have 50 minutes to throw the pass if you
want.
The
line play
it's terrible.
Is actually fun to watch. It's to me, it's funny, but it's just it doesn't even resemble what is actual football.
They have to just don't even have it.
Yeah, it seems
it's stupid.
It seems ridiculous.
And not only is it stupid, and Wilbon will be on later. I don't think he watched it. It appeared to be cold, and it was certainly
cold
raining.
And wet.
Yeah, it was 50. Awful.
Yeah. Yeah,
nobody. Nobody was in the stands. Right. Looked like a Redskin game.
It's
not, nobody there.
It's no longer in Hawaii, or it is?
It's Orlando.
No, it's in Orlando.
It's sort of, I don't know that it alternates. It is played in both places. When ESPN has the game, if in their contract they have the game, they'd like it in Orlando because it's Disney World.
I don't know that they go. Does it alternate? I don't know that they go to Hawaii anymore.
Next year it's in Passaic, I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
Beautiful there.
But why would anybody watch it or play in it?
My kids like it for some reason.
They should just do it. I think they should just. I think they do this, but just make it bigger. Like do a skills competition and like what they used to do on Wide World of Sports or whatever, where they do like. They play 2-on-2, or I don't know if their contracts would let them, but they do something else because football is not a sport that you cannot.
You got to play it.
Contact
right.
You got to play it.
Right.
And nobody wants to be hit. Nobody wants to tackle. Nobody wants to guard anybody. It's foolish. It's just a foolish game at this point. Where the ratings, they have 5 and 6 million people watch that. They actually watch it all the way through.
I gambled pretty heavily on that game. It's a mistake.
Yeah, you can't gamble on that. The third thing that I did not watch, and this is because it was on in the middle of the night, was the finals in the Australians men's and women's.
Oh, that's right.
Women's was a late Friday night, early Saturday morning. Men's was late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. The winners, Naomi Osaka, who may well be a star. Naomi Osaka is the first person, and I know that I remember this because we talked about it on Friday. She is the first woman tennis player since Jennifer Capriati in 2001, and this includes the entire career of Serena Williams. She is the first woman to, after winning her first major, make the finals in her next major. Like, even Serena didn't do that, and Serena is the greatest.
Yeah.
So she may be a star. I don't know. She beat Kvitova. I have no idea. She's a great player, clearly.
Yes.
Novak Djokovic, who I think is a poser and a fraud. I have no feel for this guy whatsoever. He's a great player. What I don't like about him is he's a great player. I don't think he's a star. I think Nadal and Federer are stars. I think Djokovic is Larry Holmes. I think he's a guy who's going to amass a lot of titles and really big numbers and is not going to win the hearts and minds of people. And plus, it's the Australian Open, which is the least of the four. But let me get to the specifics of this. When you run through Nadal like laxative, okay? I mean, you are killing this guy. It is three sets in a row, like 3-3-2 or something like that. Don't hit the ground and do those stupid, phony gestures of great relief and triumph. You're killing this guy. Act like you've been there before. I don't like him. I mean, it's pretty clear from what I'm saying. I don't like him. I think he's a great player. He may very well surpass. He's got 15 now. He may surpass Federer and Nadal, although Nadal's got the French and sort of in his pocket. But when you win 7 Australian Opens.
You're doing something right.
So, but it's like the PGA.
Yeah, it's
so
like nobody pays attention to
it. I still don't understand how you didn't see the Osaka match as it started right around when you're waking up.
I didn't turn to it.
I don't share your hatred for Djokovic.
I
obviously dislike many people and am disliked in kind by many people.
Which is fair.
Appropriately.
He's just won a huge, that is a big accomplishment, a major championship. So him celebrating, I didn't see
laying on the ground, doing his dopey little dance.
It is hot there.
Come on. Go to the net.
You don't know what he's going through in his personal life. Maybe it's a...
You know he's like the most popular person in Serbia?
He's big in Serbia.
I would have guessed Slobodan Milosevic.
He's huge in Serbia.
Maybe he's a close two.
So I'm just
don't go to Serbia anytime soon, Tom.
He's a great player. Do you think he's a...
No, he doesn't have the star power.
The Nadal and Federer are stars. Andy Murray was never a star.
No, he wasn't.
He's not a star.
He's 31, and we went over this. Nadal is 32?
32,
yeah, yes. But Nadal has pushed his body much harder than anybody.
Right. He's 31.
Djokovic was out for about a year. He had elbow surgery. He's a great player. I just think if he ends up as having the most career majors of anybody in the history of men's tennis, are you going to say he's the best player ever?
And Federer is 37 and has 20 majors. Grand Slams.
Federer's done. And that's 37 is done. Now, maybe he does something at Wimbledon. But the Australian Open, PGA, you win it, okay, big deal.
Quarters, if I'm looking at this correctly, between the quarters, semi, and final, he lost nary a set.
He's a great player.
Yeah. Well, Nadal hadn't lost a set leading up to that match. No. You know, just got, you know, steamrolled.
Lost three in the match, though.
A lot of great young American tennis players out there, really? Like who?
Tiafoe. He made it to the quarters.
Is he great?
No.
You like that, all that Michigas with the shirt off and the
flexing.
Yeah, I think
it's all right. Well, I think it's okay. Okay. I mean, he could become a star.
You do that after a podcast,
like
Gary.
Connors is having a good season so far.
To me, it's not. So I missed.
Well, there you go.
I missed Lendl. Everything.
Well,
did you watch anything over the weekend?
No, I was continuing my assault on Father of the Year Award 2019. Oh, and I took the boys to New York for the Terps-Illinois game, which was
and
just
they lost.
Yeah, that was just like.
How was your hotel?
That was like taking a bus ride to get your groin stomped on.
Yeah.
The hotel was great. That. The garden is awesome. Yeah. I mean, what a great place to see a game. It had been years since I've been there.
They got beat by a bad team.
Horrible Illinois team. Terps with 21 turnovers. That'll get you beat most times. But we had a great time. I mean, the city is so much fun. I mean, at this point in my life, living where I have lived for as long as I have, I've become, by city standards, a country boy. I mean, like, I need my space. I could not live there. But, man, to visit for a couple
it's
of
nice.
Days, there's no place
What did
better.
You do?
My basketball team to a 38-11 victory.
Oh, good. Yeah. Did you pour it on?
He was 100% impressive. At 36-9, he was
when
continued
it, we
full
had
court
15
pressure.
Seconds left, I was calling plays out. I wanted to get to 40. The guy...
Why, because you get Chick-fil-A?
Yes. When I shook hands with him at the end, he gave
you.
Me a look that I think meant he thought I was running it up, definitely. Like,
no,
he
he's
was
just
like,
a
he
listener.
He gave me a congratulations.
Yeah, okay.
Are you still...
Now I see why people hate you.
No, it's not just that. Are you on True Detective still or not?
I did not watch episode 4 last
You're
night.
You're 3D.
I'm 3D.
Okay, we got to talk when you watch episode 4.
All right, Michael,
some interesting
what
things
did you
happen.
Do over the weekend?
Well, it was actually...
So
there
I tried
was
to
no
call
rain.
You a number of times yesterday, and
yeah,
you didn't
immediately
respond.
Let that go to voicemail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there was an issue with the
Small
data plan, so I had to lay low for a couple days.
So true. See how that data plan gets
no, there's no,
out.
That's an inside joke.
There was no rain, so we got to take Walker to the park.
Right.
Freezing cold, but it was good to see him run around. And then you're sort of stuck in the middle of the day as he takes his nap, and you're not allowed to move about the house for fear of waking the little guy up. So I watched
a
lot of guys.
No, that's a bad move.
Doesn't he take a
bad
nap
move,
in
dude.
A specific room?
Yeah, but we have an old house, so the stairs creak.
You know,
yeah,
by the way,
you got to teach him how to sleep through
tell
that.
Tell this kid to man up.
While Gary is smoking and drinking around his kids, Michael actually is potentially the
not
father of the year material.
Not around my kids. No, I
with
put my
them.
Kids to bed before I went and hit the bars.
Michael is like potential father of the year. I may nominate him. He's always doing that stuff.
You did get that 3:30 a.m. Friday night text from
me. I did.
Yeah. So, you know.
All right.
I don't play.
What did you do?
Oh, I actually went to a party at the Norwegian Embassy on Friday night.
Is that right?
As
yes.
one does.
What
yes.
was? How was that?
A friend of mine was having a birthday party. He's friends with the ambassador, so that was a nice dinner party for
what they serve? Fish?
No, they serve...
And they're Norwegian.
Well, no, it would have been reported...
I've been to Norway.
You have?
I've
right.
been to Norway.
Yes, the jacket.
Fish?
Right? Yes. There was
herring.
There was some
caviar.
Seafood to begin with, and some sort of
Nigel, not a big seafood fan.
Yeah, and they had been alerted that they shouldn't have an entire meal of seafood because I would not be able to eat anything.
Did you win any award as Friend of the Norwegians of the Year or something?
Unofficially, yes. Yeah. Unofficially.
Not announced.
They serve reindeer or anything.
How many
exquisite?
People named Olsen?
They were all named Olsen. Yeah,
yeah.
It was lovely. Magnificent work.
That's where we're trying to get them to come here to immigrate. Apparently,
yes.
the president thinks
yes.
that all Norwegians
oh, yeah.
should
yeah.
become American.
Right.
Beautiful.
But don't want anybody else.
It's a very successful
You put that Indochino suit to work for the event?
I did indeed.
Good for you.
Yes, it was very lovely.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, Wilbon will join us. I was going to say to put Kalila on the air, but she said she's already seen Wilbon, so we don't have to do that. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Framebridge ad. I'm glad they're back. I haven't heard from them in a while. And the copy, this is a must read. It says, if you've been listening to the show, you've heard me talk about Framebridge. Yes, you have, but it's been a while. They make it super easy and affordable to frame your favorite things, from art prints and posters to the photos sitting on your phone. I have their stuff. It's very lovely. Now with Valentine's approaching, you can create a unique and thoughtful gift that will last for years to come. As a matter of fact, I have something that needs framing. I was able to acquire something rare, something important. It needs framing. I may send it to them.
Lisa.
Here's how it works. Just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Preview your item online in any frame style. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their design team. The experts at Framebridge, it's so hard to use. Yeah. It's a hard thing to say.
Yeah, it's a wide array.
We'll custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door ready to hang.
Framebridge there.
Instead of the hundreds you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39, and all of their shipping is free. Plus, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use the code TONYK. They want me to give my personal experiences. I've got a picture of Michael and I from Augusta.
Amen Corner.
Right, at 12. Right, looking at the green at 12. And they framed it, and
Michael
it's lovely. It's up in the house. No.
I was playing.
Michael was in. Was in. Get started today with just a few taps on your phone. Go to Framebridge. Let me spell that for you. Framebridge, framebridge.com. Use the promo code TONYK to save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code TONYK. And they want me to say it a third time because Framebridge is so hard to say. Framebridge.com, promo code TONYK.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Eric French, who writes, I was cleaning dishes, tuning out my wife and three daughters via headphones when I heard about your back injury. When you described your landing, I said out loud, it's your ribs, not your back. My wife shushed me. Believe I had that. Good rule of thumb, when the soles of both shoes face heaven, you're likely in rib trouble, not back trouble. Wilbon knows this without even knowing it. So here's a song about running with the bulls, figuratively in the spain of your brain. You should try this. Hope you're on the mend and slamming car doors with privileged vigor. My band of one, Moss French, will be playing this song at Vini Culture on Friday night, February 8th, in downtown Frederick, Maryland. Regards to the cast and all the ships at sea, Eric French.
By the way, more information for life shared with me via Twitter. When you walk on ice, normally when you walk, you share, you sort of divide your weight evenly amongst your feet and legs. When you walk on ice, you should keep all of your weight forward on your front foot, sort of like
a
penguin does.
I didn't see the ice.
Lean in.
Well,
I didn't. That's what my problem was. It was black ice.
So you're telling me you know how to walk on ice. You just did not see the ice.
I didn't see the ice.
Okay.
Michael Wilbon joins us now. Did you see, and I don't know, because you don't watch morning television.
Never.
Did you see what the weather is today and tomorrow in Chicago?
I don't need to watch morning TV to know what the weather's going to be in Chicago. Yeah, I know exactly what the weather's going to be in Chicago. The high on Wednesday is supposed to be like minus 14, and the low will get to about minus 26 or 27. And we've been talking a lot. I had friends call me who are aware of the weather in Chicago, and they've said, oh, my God, this is going to be the coldest day ever. And I said, no. And I looked up, I Googled coldest days in Chicago's history. And of the 20 coldest days in Chicago's history, I was there for four of them. You know, somewhere in the 1800s. I was there for four of them. There was a week in 1983 at Christmas, and I happened, that was the first Christmas I was back as an adult after college. And consecutive days, it was minus 24 and minus 25. And I remember because it was Christmas week, you know, people were like, you got to get your Christmas shopping done. It's minus 24, minus 25. So I was there for four of them, four of the 20 coldest I was there for. So minus 25, this isn't going to approach that. This isn't going to be within 10 degrees of the coldest days in Chicago's history. But, you know, minus 13 for the high. It's insane, even for Chicago. And the difference, of course, like every place, you know, now and 30 years ago, 40, almost, you know, 35 years ago, is that I'm sure Chicago will shut down because of the cold now. Because we're such a litigious world, they'll say the kids shouldn't be outside. You know, I had out, you know, I was outside, I'm sure, you know. But I'm certain the city will shut down now, and that was not the case on those 20 days in the past when it was colder.
Do you, how many times, by the way, Kalila's here. Kalila, say hello. Get on the microphone. Kalila's here.
Hey, Mike.
She looks great. She's alive, which would, I didn't know that would happen.
So I've seen Kalila Friday and Saturday and Sunday, Tony, so this is not new either.
So when you were
happy
a kid.
Happy to have her back.
When you were a kid, and now everybody, temperature is a relative thing. When you grow up with something, if it's 15 degrees colder than it's ever been before, it's very cold for you. But it's not like you grew up in Miami. You grew up in Chicago, so you're used to the cold. Your blood was thicker. You could handle cold better than people like me who grew up in New York. And even I could handle a lot of cold because of where I went to college and where I grew up. But do you recall schools shutting down? Do you recall cold where you recoiled from it and said, I'm done. I'm not going out in this.
No.
No.
And school, I don't have to recall it. Schools were not shut down. I know. Because even the days, Tony, I when I was a kid, I had a paper route, an old-fashioned paper route. I either rode my bike, I pushed a cart, depending on what day of the week and how thick the newspaper was that day, Thursdays and Sundays. You know, it was thick enough. I had a cart. And I had a paper route from 11 to 17. And I never missed a day, as in never. Schools were not shut down. Nothing stopped. My parents never said, well, don't go outside, it's too cold, honey. What? And so we're just, wherever we are, we're a wimpy society relative to what we were 30, 50, 80, 150 years ago. And so, no, I know the schools didn't shut down because I was in them. I got off my paper route and I went to school. I think I told you the story, Tony. The biggest snow in Chicago's history was January of 1967, and we're just about at the anniversary because it was January 26 and 27.
That's now.
If I'm not mistaken.
That's now, yeah.
Okay. And so it snowed,
yesterday,
you know, 25 inches. And they said, you can be at school, you can be as late as 10 o'clock.
Are you gonna parachute into Chicago for the cold, or are you gonna go to someplace warm?
I'm gonna be in California.
Yeah,
in Arizona.
See,
I will not.
Someplace.
No, I you know, I, when I heard it, I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is crazy, and you know, I've been talking with people about it all weekend because we've known this was coming for a good week, and that's why when I listen here to Channel 4, and people say it's gonna be, you know, a Arctic blast of cold here in Washington, high 26. I want to take out a baseball bat and go Al Capone.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all relative. It's all relative to what you're used to.
But
so
Arctic blast is not, that word is not relative.
Well, I think that the low on Tuesday night into Wednesday here is supposed to be 4. Now 4 is cold. Mm. 4 is cold.
4 is cold, but it's not. You
not
know,
going out.
Arctic means
send
Arctic,
the dog
it's not
out
relative.
By herself.
And right. You know, the low is 4. Once again, the high on Wednesday in Chicago, minus 13 or 14.
Terrible.
Minus.
So I opened the show by saying what I didn't watch over the weekend and what I didn't even know about. I didn't even know the NHL All-Star Game was on. Did you watch it by any chance?
No.
We never said a word about it all week on PTI. Not a single word. It's inconceivable that we will go the week before the NBA All-Star Game and not talk about it two or three times.
Well, we don't talk about the NHL much anyway except fights or weird video.
We just don't.
So we don't. I pay more attention to the NHL than you do, but, you know, I'm not on it all the time. I'm not going to make that case. I'm not on it right now anyway because the Blackhawks are terrible. And that usually carries me, you know, depending on their season into the NHL season for real, or just a little bit, or not at all. So no, I knew the game. I knew it was going on, Tony. I knew it was All Star Weekend in the NHL. I couldn't tell you what city the game was in.
No, I think it was in California.
Was hosting it,
because that's why Ovechkin said, "I don't want to go because it's in. I don't want to take the flight." I was angry at Ovechkin for ducking it, and I am. I think that was a mistake. Yeah. I think you were more tolerant of it than I was.
No, I don't. I don't think it's the end of the world, but I think he should have been there.
That's what I think. And did I'm betting you did not watch even one play of the Pro Bowl.
I haven't watched one play of the Pro Bowl for 35 years.
I haven't watched
one play of the Pro Bowl since I got out of college.
What should they do about that?
Just name people. Name them Pro Bowl recipients or Pro Bowl awardees give them a trophy, give them whatever money they get. If they have some in their contract as an incentive, give them a jersey, have a party, you know, if they want to. If not, don't worry about it. And that's it. But, you know, the thing that Tony justifies having the Pro Bowl is the viewership.
That's 5 million people.
It's a
people.
TV show.
5 million people watch it.
That's right.
It's unwatchable. It's not football.
It's not football. It is watchable, but it's not football.
Huh?
It's like, it's basically flat. I mean, it'd be better if it was
flag. Let them have flag football games.
Yep.
It's terrible. And by the way, nobody was there.
I don't watch the NBA All-Star game either anymore, because that's a waste of time, too.
Which one?
The NBA All-Star game is a waste of time.
You don't watch that at all?
Doesn't Lil Bon love that, though? My kids love that game.
What?
The NBA All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Stephen Matthews said to me last year, because we were there in Los Angeles, and he loves the pomp and circumstance of it. He loves the weekend. He's been twice now, I guess. And he loves all of the introductions. All the things that I love that go along with it. But the game itself, they don't play the game.
Right.
They have no interest in playing the game. And it was played as recently as the late 90s and early aughts. There were some games in which guys just said, okay, we're going to play now.
The last 6 minutes sometimes people play.
Right, that's right.
That's all.
They don't even do that. They don't even do that anymore. They have no interest in competing in it. So why should I have more interest in it than they have?
Oh, I forgot to say that the Michael Wilbon interview is brought to you by Lowe's, the new home of Craftsman. Nigel just
pointed technically
that
you
out
forgot to be reminded.
That's
a good producer
push the button
made that clear. So I need to ask you this. And I'm a 1 week away from the NBA. When the Super Bowl is over, I'm all into the NBA. But I've certainly, as we all have, paid attention to James Harden. Mike and I are not generally as gaga about James Harden as others are. And I certainly thought that when Chris Paul came back, you would see a precipitous drop in Harden's points. Harden had 40 last night. What kind of fellow is he? Do you think... is he receptive to coaching? If Mike D'Antoni said to him, you did what we asked when we needed it, now we need you to do something different. Is he receptive to that?
Tony, I will readily admit, I don't know James Harden.
Oh, okay.
And I've spent a lot of time around Houston, the Rockets, the last 3 years. But, you know, certainly last year, I mean, you know who one of my favorite players in the league
Chris Paul.
The last
I know you love
15
Paul.
Years is.
Chris Paul.
And so when you have that guy to talk to, and P.J. Tucker, is somebody I know a little bit from his time in Arizona, and he's really good friends with my friend Jason Daniels in Phoenix, and so even socially, I know P.J. Tucker a little bit. And when you have guys like that you can go and talk to, and they are just two of the smarter guys in the league, I don't listen to James Harden. I don't wander by James Harden's locker very much. But, I mean, I think what's happening here, and there are a lot of people even in the league who wonder about James Harden. And they have questions, maybe. They know he's a great player. And they wonder about what happens to him in the playoffs. Because great players, while they may not be... The great players are the most critical people of all, of course, about their industry. You know, they may not want reporters to do it, but they're the most critical. And they wonder about Harden. And I don't know. I think that what happens with the dynamic with the Rockets, I do know... at least last year when they had their best season, really, because they got within an eyelash of beating the Warriors and getting to the finals before Chris Paul got hurt, is that Chris Paul is the voice on the floor that they pay attention to. And D'Antoni is a guy, you know, a player's coach. And he often designs, and he's, you know, a guy who's, you know, a CEO in a lot of ways of what goes on. And he lets his coordinators coordinate and his players play. And Chris Paul is that guy. And I know why you said what you said, because I believe that too. We had a question on PTI about a month ago, who would you take, Antetokounmpo or Harden the rest of the season? And I said, if you promise me, if you guarantee me Chris Paul will be out there, I'll take Harden. If you don't, I'm not going to take him. And I meant that then. I still mean it, just no matter what the numbers are. But there's, you know, Harden is like a lot of great players, Tony. He will work with the coach. It doesn't mean the coach is going to dictate. Like Harden, the guy who would thrive in San Antonio, I don't know.
Right.
Is he a guy who would have thrived in Miami under Pat Riley, both as coach and as, you know, president, boss, czar? I don't know. Is he a guy who would have thrived under Phil Jackson? I don't know. So he hasn't had to do that. But it's interesting. It's going to be interesting. See, my thing with James Harden, and Isaiah Thomas said this the other night on NBA TV, and it was, I mean, he just got to the point. Again, as a great player can, Isaiah said, this is great. This is just, you know, wow. For the greatest players ever, it's wow. But at some point, you know, you take stock of what happens in May and June, and he's going to have to answer to that, as everybody does. And so this stretch, I mean, I talked to the Warriors about this the other night. Individually, guys, they were like, wow. But, you know, the Warriors have done this thing in May and June that Harden has not.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we're looking for. Is that fair? Yeah. Yeah, because we've seen Harden be MVP. We've seen him be runner-up. Right now he's going to be MVP again. He's just wrestled it away from Antetokounmpo or anybody else. But ultimately the test for James Harden is, can you do this thing when the sport requires you to do it against the best and the brightest?
All right.
And there's a resounding I don't know.
That's fair.
Whether that's being led there by the coach or led there by your best teammate.
All right. We will see you later. Thank you, Michael.
All right, Tom.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. He'll be on the PTI show this evening. He'll be here. He is, I hasten to add, not going anywhere near Chicago in the next few days. And I guarantee you he would like to complain about the cold here on Wednesday and Thursday, but none of us will listen to that after that diatribe. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the rest of the Lowe's ad, and they asked me to say Lowe's is my new go-to destination where I can explore the latest innovative Craftsman products, including their new V20 power tool battery platform, and I can. That is true. I can explore them.
Yes.
I won't know what they are, but I can explore them. Craftsman's V20 cordless power tool lineup features a high-capacity lithium battery. That's part of Craftsman's interchangeable battery system, so it works with all tools in their V20 lineup, giving you the runtime you need and the power you deserve. The one battery system works on multiple products, making the V20 lineup easy to use and versatile. If you're into tools, and I'm adding this myself, go get it. V20 brushless power tools are proudly made in the United States. They're global materials, but they're assembled. They're made in Charlotte, North Carolina. All have brushless motors, delivering high efficiency, better runtime, more power, and greater durability for all your projects. You can explore the entire Craftsman V20 lineup at your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com. You know, this is every time I get this copy, things are spelled wrong. Hmm. Because you just print up the same thing, you don't proofread it. I'm not angry, but I mean it's the
not
copywriters.
Angry, it's just
disappointing.
The
the copywriters get it wrong and it comes to me wrong all the time.
We'll dress
you can
up
explore
today.
The entire Craftsman V20 sure. lineup at your local Lowe's store, visit Lowe's.com/Tony. That's Lowe's.com/Tony, and Lowe's is the new home of Craftsman.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Danny!
What?
Get down here now! You'll be late for school!
Hold on, Mom!
Now!
I'm coming!
Joe Webb in Mooresville, North Carolina sends this, and he writes, in honor of National Chocolate Cake Day, Sunday, I wanted to share an original song written by my friend David Scott Crow. It's available on iTunes. I'm sure you will agree it is the best song you've ever heard about cake. Do me a favor, jump in the Wayback Machine and hit me with Abe belting out Where's the Cake in honor of this great ditty. I've been vacationing for so long, I can't even remember the last time Mr. Orange and Bald went on a forced vacation. Thank you for many, many years of enjoyment. And Dave Crow says it's okay to play the song. He's a lower school Spanish teacher and a girls' varsity tennis coach. State finalist 2018, which is very, very nice. This song is called Where's the Cake? Michael, if people like Dave Crow want to get their music played on the air and they don't necessarily have a friend who'll send it in and they have to do it themselves, how do they do so?
Fire up that email machine and send it off to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Okay, that's good.
Long-running vacation reminds me of Luke Russert's finest line that I sent everyone.
You
I don't
did
think
love
I,
that.
I don't think I sent this to you, Tone, but Luke's best line on Friday, and
Bahamas?
He had a lot, was this. Justin Rose, he's a chill guy. I ran into him a few times in the Bahamas.
On his yacht.
On his yacht.
He's,
on his
like,
yacht.
He's like the Matt Harvey of golf.
Yeah, right? On his yacht. Okay, Nigel News, what do you got?
Lots of directions we could go at the start of this newscast,
pick
Mr.
One.
Tony, but we will obviously go with the biggest story from the weekend. That was the triumph of the Binghamton Bearcats.
Yeah, we beat New Hampshire.
Over the Maine. No, it was the Maine Black Bears.
Oh, the Maine Black Bears. We can
yes.
beat New Hampshire and Maine. They're the only two we can
wow.
beat.
Yes.
D1 wins.
78-66.
The D1 win.
78-66.
At the Dr. Byley Court.
Yes, at the home court. and the Big Potato with a career high 26 points and 11 rebounds.
Boom.
Caleb Stewart.
That's good.
Double. Yes.
He's put up a ton of double doubles.
That's good.
Big Potato.
Yes. That's very good.
Now, where does this leave the Bearcats in terms of the America East?
We're probably sixth or seventh in the conference.
One, two, three,
nine.
Four, five, six. Okay. Just a game behind Hartford. And as fate would have it,
when do we play them?
On Wednesday.
Oh. At or home?
At Hartford.
Day of record.
At Hartford. This is a big one.
I believe that's the Whalers, right?
No,
is that what the name is?
No, that's the hockey team. No.
But
it's
yeah.
The Hawks. So no. Mike
I believe
Leeds
it's Crimson.
Goal.
It's in Harvard Crimson.
Yeah. It's
yes,
not Harvard.
That's right. That's exactly
oh, it's not
right.
Hartford.
No, it's Hartford.
Oh.
It's not Harvard. No.
Elsewhere around college basketball, the Hoyas had a nice win over St. John's, 89-78, the final there.
Anything, that's nice.
Any other games
happy
that you
Chris.
Were to give
by the way,
yes.
Well, Purdue beat
Mac
Michigan
McClung.
State.
Mac McClung. He's going to be good.
He's a good player.
25 yesterday.
Yes, Purdue does knock off number 6
Kentucky
Michigan State.
Kentucky beat Kansas, and I think both Duke and Virginia
was a
won.
Beat down. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think that all Michigan State would be the upset
yes.
of note.
Yes.
But the Big Ten's awfully good. I mean,
they're
going to
go yep. 8-9 deep.
Yeah.
By the way, which highlights just to very quickly how not good the Big East is. Georgetown was in last, 10th out of 10.
I didn't know
in
that.
The game before the game yesterday, with their victory,
is it
they're
third?
In third.
Yeah.
There were
wow.
seven teams that are 3-4.
So everybody's
and four.
Piled
yeah.
in together.
Well, Villanova's good.
Well, Penn beat Villanova.
Villanova started to get it rolling.
Yeah.
Villanova and Marquette are ranked and pretty good.
Marquette's got that kid who scores
yes.
50 a game.
Who didn't play? Got hurt in the first minute of the Georgetown game, and we still lost.
Howard.
But, yes, Marcus Howard. But
yeah.
but that is the Big East is very mediocre. They showed the early mock.
Who
getting
is this
in.
Kid from Wichita State named Ja Morant that everybody's
no, that's,
talking
that's
about?
That's not Wichita State.
Where
that's
is it? Wichita?
No, he's it's more isn't it it's it Ja Morant is not it's hold on. He goes to
everybody's saying he's gonna be in the lottery.
He goes to Murray State.
Murray State. Okay,
yes.
In Kentucky.
He's supposed to be like the top three or four pick. I watched they were on playing another team with a kid, another team I hadn't heard of, but with another kid who's supposed to be good. And Ja Morant hurt his ankle.
Let me just say this.
Very early in the game.
Ja Morant strikes me right now as this year's answer to Trae Young. When Trae Young was, everybody said how mm-hmm. great he was, and then they put defenses on him, and they put him on TV 2 times a week, and he was 6-for-23 time after time after time, and still went 2 or 3 in the
I'm
draft.
I'm looking up
what
the mock draft. They've got him.
And he's doing well in the league.
They've got
it's
him
right.
very
teaming
high.
Up with Kevin Herter.
What else you got?
I know you talked quite a bit about the NBA with Wilbon. Was
yeah.
there anything else you wanted to get into?
No, Wizards lose.
Yeah, Wizards
19
lose.
Straight
times.
Yes.
But there has
no,
been an official.
They give up 132 points.
Yes.
It's a joke.
Well, Tim Duncan's on that team.
No, not anymore.
Kawhi. After a 69, yeah. They score 69 in the first half and go in down. 70-60.
Yeah. I mean, they don't play in defense.
But there has been a Carmelo Anthony sighting, Mr. Tony. He was spotted
yeah.
at Madison Square Garden.
How many did he have?
Well, none. He did have some beer and a hot dog because he was in the stands.
Amazing
not
to
that
me.
Kind of
nobody
sentiment.
Wants him. The Knicks yeah. should just. The Knicks are terrible. Let the Knicks take him and put him out on the court
right.
where he can still score 18 points a game.
And
yeah.
we'll
they
put
stink.
Some yeah. butts in seats.
He yeah. said he was when asked about what his next move would be. He says, "At this point, I just want to be happy. I think I put myself in a good, peaceful mind
be
state
happy.
Right now.
Go to a comedy club,
being able to focus in on what I need to focus in on, and whatever's going to make me happy, then we're going to make it happen." So there you go.
That's just
yeah,
got to
make
mush.
It happen.
It's just mush.
It really when people are paying other people really $1 million for you to go away,
yeah.
That might hurt.
The only way Chicago would accept him in a trade. Is if the team he was
with
on
cash.
Houston paid them
yeah.
money.
Right. I think it was 900K.
Yeah, 900
right?
grand.
Straight
yeah.
cash, homie.
That's
yeah.
terrible. What else?
To the links, Mr. Tony. Justin Rose is your winner at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines.
Got off that yacht in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Good guy.
He's a chill guy.
Very
yeah.
chill guy.
Just
that
shout out
Bahamas.
From Luke really yeah. carried him through
oh
the weekend.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm going to turn this over to Michael because I know you probably kept eyes on this tournament over the weekend.
Michael told us to keep eyes on Justin Rose before the tournament even
yes.
began.
Yeah. Yeah, so that you see him, he is positioning himself even deeper into that number one slot, but your eyes tell you something different than what the numbers say. You look at someone who is very shaky going into that final round, which sort of goes
three
against
three bogeys in the first five holes.
Watching that final group putt anything inside 6 feet makes your hands start to shake.
Yeah.
No, but you look at it. You look at a player who is whose numbers and just the way he strikes the ball through the bag is so solid and consistent. Even if I still think he's a little unsure over those shorter putts, and you look at someone who is of a pretty slight build, who is putting it out there with the same ball speed that you're seeing Dustin Johnson, Tiger Woods. It's pretty remarkable, and you're going to see him probably continue to further himself from other golfers. I think the bigger story is looking at a guy like Adam Scott and what this new rule with the flag stick in is going to do with guys who have historically been weaker putters, and maybe some of it's nerves, maybe it's the way that you set up, but you're seeing him now putt with the flag stick in on everything. And you're seeing that he was probably one of the had one of the biggest jumps in terms of stroke gains on the greens.
What, how does it, tell me how that works. Why would you keep the stick in? Because if you hit it with any sort of speed, it might bounce out completely. What does that do for a shaky putter?
So for some players, it just helps with your alignment. It gives your eyes something to anchor onto as you're trying to set something up. It's the same way why you're not allowed to use certain visual aids to ensure that you're getting into the proper setup. And the common example would just be, let's say you have a downhill putt. So Tiger, the rule almost didn't feel like it took effect until you saw Tiger doing it. He has a fast downhill putt for eagle. He leaves the putt in because if it's downhill, you're going by too fast, it might stop dead right by the hole. Yes, on a two-footer, if you bang it really hard, which Adam Scott was doing, it might bounce out, but the math says it's more often than not going
down.
Analogy,
so and Tiger did well, right? At least at the last five holes on
what
yesterday.
Does this say? The most exciting thing about that tournament is seeing Tiger go 4 or 5 under on his back nine, yeah. Which is the front nine because they'd split tees.
It was a
nothing finish.
Very dull tournament. And I watch these things, and I gave up on it. I don't know.
Shout out to Jeff Pigott, who reached out to me on Twitter, just closing the loop.
From West Des Moines?
Michael had mentioned the transition of Justin Rose from TaylorMade to Hanma Golf.
Yeah, he's got the hat and everything. Oh, yeah.
The former CEO of TaylorMade, according to Jeff, is now leading North American golf business for Hanma as of last August. Rose was with TaylorMade his entire career before flipping.
And
so
very, very famously, TaylorMade, they stayed with Justin Rose through about a 10-year slump, so he has strong ties to that leadership.
One thing, Tony, I read about the flag stick in thing. The analogy is if picture yourself like if you're just even putting
picture
in your house.
Picture yourself on a boat by the river.
Picture yourself in a train at a station. Mm-hmm. If you're just putting in your house and you let's just say you had a hole in the floor.
Just right. Night putting.
Which then, I do in the little
house. And then imagine you take this coffee cup or a solo cup and turn it upside down over the hole, and now you're trying to hit the physical cup that is up and out, and they
better,
say just
better
because,
sight line.
Yeah, they just say head. Because there's a physical protrusion there, you'd be
maybe
better
that's
off.
True. What else do we have?
To the SAG After Awards,
I want to know who
Tony.
Won because I voted.
Outstanding performance by a male actor in a leading role.
Who'd you have, Tone?
Who did I have in outstanding? I think I might have had Rami Malek from that, Bohemian Rhapsody.
That is your winner.
Winner.
Okay.
Who did you have for female actor in a leading role?
I wanted Melissa McCarthy, but I did pick Glenn Close.
Glenn Close is your winner. Male actor in a supporting role.
Oh, I definitely had the guy.
Mahershala Ali.
No. I definitely had the guy who looks
Richard
like Christopher Walken, Richard E. Grant.
Richard E. Grant, yes. Well, it's Mahershala Ali.
That's fine.
That's
fine.
What about female actor in a supporting role?
I probably had Emma Stone.
Emily Blunt wins for A Quiet Place.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it was quite a good movie. Performance by a cast.
Oh, I hadn't seen all the movies, so I may have voted for A Star Is Born. I don't know.
Black Panther is your winner.
Oh, good.
There. Yes.
Good, because that made $300 million.
Yep. It did.
It's good to reward something that people actually liked.
Yeah, people that
and
went
not
to
something
see.
That's not in some language that you have to read.
It's Swedish, subtitled in German.
So,
it's wonderful.
Good. People liked that movie.
Did you care about any of the TV winners?
Yeah, who are the TV winners?
Well, Justin Bateman won for Ozark.
So. Wow. Okay, so this is my problem with Ozark.
Jason Bateman.
Oh, Jason, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I met him. Nice fellow.
Where'd you meet
Get
him?
Get it right.
I met him at a Super Bowl party once.
Really?
Very nice. Very nice.
Sneaky short?
No.
Regular size.
I was 9, 5, 10, 5, 11.
Yeah, that's
great hairline.
My problem with that show is everybody, I have it. I have the second season. But I didn't watch the first season. And everybody says you got to watch the first season.
Well, you do.
That's 12 hours of watching.
I
don't want to do that.
I think it's
still worth it. I don't want to do that.
Still worth it.
I don't know.
It's a great show.
I don't know.
Actually,
why
let me say,
I
think
now?
It's 8,
Come
and
on,
I think
Michael.
They're... Oh, no, they are an hour. I was going to say, I think they're like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Patricia Arquette
it's
is
worth
your
it,
winner.
I voted for her.
Yeah, for Escape
I voted
of Dannemora.
For her, and I didn't like that series, but that was she had guts the way she presented
That's Ben
it.
Stiller, oh, yeah. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sandra Oh won for Stiller. Killing Eve.
I didn't vote for her.
In a drama series.
I thought the other girl in Killing Eve
Breaking
was
Bad
better.
Won anything?
Did the Americans win?
No, the Americans did not win. A lot of, wins for the marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
Tony Shalhoub and Rachel Brosnahan.
Yeah, they got to get out.
Yes. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. That's about it from there. Mr. Tony, there's a report coming out from the Washington Post. Oh, I'm sorry, it's not from the Washington Post. This would be from Ian Rappaport.
He's on the NFL Network.
Yes.
Yes.
This is his tweet from yesterday. One storyline to follow for 2019, the Redskins are planning as if they won't have quarterback Alex Smith next season, sources say. They believe he'll miss the entire season with his broken leg issues and are acting accordingly. If he's ready, they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. So let me just say this. It was should have been an embarrassment to the Washington Post that they were beaten on the story that there were complications, you know, after surgery with his leg, infections, and things went sideways.
Yes, very sideways.
They didn't have that story. They're supposed to have this story, too. They have people who cover that team full time. If this is true, not saying it is true, if this is true, they should have had this. When Alex Smith walked out in public and went to that Wizards game.
He was not walking.
Yeah. You saw that thing his leg.
For those that didn't
see
it.
You said, whoa.
He was at a Wizards game last week, has the full leg cast with all the like Frankenstein stuff coming out of it, the contraption. I don't know what it's called. But
it was a compound fracture.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I just want to make sure.
So the question truly isn't, and I don't think it even really was next year, it's will he ever play again?
34 currently?
In this city, the team that the people that cover that team, this should come as no surprise. This should not be a news story that someone at another, at the NFL Network has this story. Should not be.
Should not be.
It should be out here. What else? That's it. I'm done.
Did you want to hear the story about 65-year-old Richard Kamrowski?
Who is he?
Ooh. He the guy I saw in the news this morning?
He was headed north on Massachusetts Turnpike when he got into a slight accident with a 37-year-old by the name of Mark Fitzgerald.
Oh, is this the guy driving the Infiniti, the white Infiniti?
Yes. They pulled over to the side, and Kamrowski, age 65, got out, and that's when things started to go a little bit sideways. The exchange between them became heated. Kamrowski reached in and grabbed a water bottle from inside the car. Fitzgerald then proceeded to drive away. Kamrowski jumped on the hood of the car and then...
This is on the Mass Turnpike?
On the Mass Turnpike. And then for what was a distance of 3 miles, Fitzgerald was traveling at rates of up to 70 miles an hour, trying to start and stop and swerve to shake Kamrowski off the...
If he had done that's murder.
Yeah. Yes.
That's attempted murder.
Yes.
Now, granted, the dude took the water bottle and smashed his windshield.
Smashed the windshield.
That's
I'm not saying it justifies it. I'm just saying it was. He could argue he was fearful. For
that guy, as Michael pointed out, he has some real strength on his hands.
Nice
he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't even look like he's stressed out. The car
traveling. He doesn't have broken ribs.
Scary video. Yeah.
I just kept telling him stop the car, stop the car, and he wouldn't stop. Fast, slow.
Stop the car so I can kill you.
Right. Finally, some motorists were able to pin the car in. And one motorist who had a conceal and carry came out with a gun. It looks like he's a police officer. He's actually a citizen.
Yeah, told him to get out of the car. That's what you want. Citizens pulling guns on each other. Right?
So we'll tell you they were both.
Have to be arrested.
Fitzgerald was charged with assault with a dangerous weapon on
that's
a person
his car.
On a person over 60. So that's good
for
you.
Wow!
So you get a discount. I get my age. You're like, wow, that's great.
Negligent operation of a motor vehicle leaving the scene of a property damage incident.
Senior citizen discount.
Kamrowski was arrested on suspicion of disorderly conduct and malicious damage to a motor vehicle.
Because he smashed the windshield.
Yes. So they both been released on their own.
Your boy Maury should have him on. Have him hug it out.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Let's get out of here. We'll have Old Guy Radio when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is ZipRecruiter ad. This is B, the scripted option.
Option B.
Yeah, option B. Hiring can be pretty time-consuming. You post a job to several online job boards, only to get tons of the wrong resumes. Then you have to sort through all of those resumes just to find a few people with the right skills and experience. Those job sites that overwhelm you with the wrong resumes, they're not smart. That's why you should do the smart thing. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you. Its powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience and actively invites them to apply to your jobs. You get qualified candidates fast. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, listeners to this high-quality show can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. If you love this show, show your support to it and ZipRecruiter. I mean, I don't want to make it a test of loyalty like that. I really don't. Just if you need to do this, go to ZipRecruiter. You go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Got to spell out Tony for you people who can't spell Tony.
T-O-N-Y. T-O-N-Y. Yeah, with the Y.
At ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old guy radio for the day. These are the Box Tops, led by Alex Chilton. This is Cry Like a Baby. This is a better tune than The Letter.
Yeah.
It's the best thing they ever did. I love this song. Why are we playing it?
Because Rick Allen, who had joined the Box Tops for this record, the keyboardist and bassist for them, is turning 73 today. He also played for the Gentries. What was that song? Is that Keep On
Alvin?
Dancing?
Dancing.
Keep On Dancing,
Montgomery?
Yes. And the
Gary, Alvin, all the Gentries.
Yeah.
And the story behind this song is, so the follow-up to The Letter, the production company was like, yeah, we need you to write another song. So
Alex Chilton. Brilliant. He's not with us anymore.
No, sadly, no, he's passed. But Spooner Oldham, who played the organ, they said, hey, can you write a song? So he goes with his producer, Dan Penn.
10 minutes later.
Well, no, they try. They're like, yeah, I've got a few ideas. And all night they were working on it, and it just everything was in the garbage pail. So they went to a diner to get something to eat, and they just Oldham just had his head down, and he looks up at the producer, and he goes, you know, I could just cry like a baby. I can't get it done. So
Boom.
Wait, what'd you say?
Boom.
So by the time they walked across the street
of
back
course,
in the studio,
they had the song.
It was done.
It's the way, it works. The way it works all the time. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was sort of lost this weekend. This was the hardest thing so far with the broken rib, because I could have played golf yesterday.
Yeah.
It was like mid-40s. Yeah. It wasn't particularly windy. I would have happily walked 18 yesterday just to get out of the house and have something to do. And I couldn't do that. And so I was angry all weekend because I can't do anything. I already gained 4 pounds. In 12 days, I've gained 4 pounds. Mm. Because not only am I...
Gary was talking about that.
I'm lethargic and fat.
Very wide around the
but
hips.
But in order to take the medicines I'm taking, they say you have to eat food while you take the medicines.
Right.
And I'm taking the medicines 3 and 4 times a day. I'm a cow at this point. I cannot get on the ground. I can't stretch. I can't do anything. So I had to find something to do. I watched... There's two shows that I watched. Well, one was a movie. I watched Bohemian Rhapsody. Did anybody watch Bohemian Rhapsody?
I have not seen it.
Has anybody out there watched Bohemian Rhapsody?
Show of hands.
No, hardly.
Yeah, so, oh, there's a couple.
Couple. You've watched Kalila's it, Kalila. It. Really so good. Here's, look, I was never a Queen fan. I'm not invested in Queen. I mean, I knew who Freddie Mercury was. I knew who Queen was. They had more big songs than I thought. When you go through the catalog movie,
absolutely.
They've had some of the greatest rock and roll songs of all time. But it's like, I'm watching this. It's not a particularly good movie. It's exciting. It's not particularly good. It's over. Every single thing they do is overdone in the movie. There's no subtlety at all in the movie. And you begin to ask yourself, how much debauchery is too much debauchery in the movie?
And the answer
how
is
many
not.
Temper tantrums? You know, I mean, you don't know anything about anybody else in the band. It's all about Freddie Mercury. And, you know, at the end, I was happy the movie was over. That's a great ending. You know, they're at the Live Aid concert.
Right.
Got a great ending, but, you know, so enough was enough on that. And that is nominated for an Academy Award. The movies that I've seen that are nominated for the Academy Award, none of them are great. I've not seen a great movie yet. And in the evening, I had this dilemma about Ozark. You know, am I going to watch season 2?
You're just intimidated by all the work in front of you. One bite at a time.
Instead, what I ended up watching was not Rent, which I didn't know what was on. I didn't know was on. I watched this thing called The Kaminsky Method.
Kaminsky Method fans.
So The Kaminsky Method it's 8 episodes. It's not long. It's only like 4 hours total. I got 6 through. It's got the great actors Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin. Every once in a while, you look up and you go, is that Anne Margaret? You know, I mean, she's in, the, you know, the, like, you don't know what's going on.
Well,
is that Danny DeVito?
I know nothing about it.
Okay. The premise of the show, and I'm going to be a little more critical than I think these people are going to like. The premise of the show is that Alan Arkin at mid-70s, Michael Douglas at mid-70s. He's running an actor's studio sort of thing. He's the teacher. He's teaching acting, probably modeled after Lee Strasberg or something like that. And Alan Arkin is a great and powerful agent, you know, with a huge company. I don't want to give away too much of it. They're pals. They've been pals forever. Alan Arkin was introduced to the woman who became his wife by Michael Douglas. Now, they're great actors.
Yeah, sure.
And it's sort of funny. Here and there, it's pretty funny. I described this to Chris as sort of like Curb Your Enthusiasm for older, milder, stay-in-your-lane kind of people. Because it's not wacky. You know, it's funny. They're wonderful. It's funny. I went six deep on the episodes, and I enjoyed myself. I thought it was good. I don't know that. Did you think it's great? It's great. I think it's good.
I think it's good.
I'm happy to finish it.
It's less over the top.
Curb. Curb Your Enthusiasm. They don't put golf clubs in coffins and steal them.
Do you laugh out loud? Do you chuckle to yourself?
There were a couple of out loud laugh lines for me. There were. Okay.
30 minutes or 60 minutes?
30. It would seem a little bit around 30 minutes because they're old. They can't go 60 anymore.
Yeah.
There's a little too much prostate problems for him. Right. Like it just goes on and on. That Michael Douglas can't pee. He's got to pee and he can't pee. Yeah. You know, and it's like three episodes of that. And you go, solve this thing already. Here's a pill. Get out of here. Danny DeVito really does make you laugh as a urologist.
Well, he's the best.
Yeah, I mean, Danny DeVito really
does. The notion of him as a urologist.
He's so good.
I will recommend it without, it's not The Americans, all right? I'm not going to tell you it's great. It's not Breaking Bad or, you know, what was the Baltimore one? The Wire. No, it's not that. But it's pretty good. But I didn't have anything else to do.
I want you to watch, just one other thing I want you to watch is Bodyguard.
Oh yeah,
I think you would really like it. It's one season. It's not so long. You don't care about this, but it's the one of the main characters who gets offed, spoiler alert, in Game of Thrones.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
He's won a bunch of stuff this year for his role. It's vaguely about politics. But it's British politics. It's good. It's like six episodes.
Threats,
which they do.
So
well.
I watched a little bit of Brexit with Benedict Cumberbatch. And after 20 minutes, I said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm bored out of my skull here. I'm not watching any more of this.
It got better at the end, but yeah.
I don't care. So Tracy sent me a note the other day about cashless society, that more and more things are turning to a cashless society.
Sure.
That has to trouble you tremendously.
It's the death of America, as far as I'm concerned. I like cash. I grew up thinking cash was good.
Straight cash.
I carry cash. I pay for gas with cash. I pay for groceries with cash.
What?
I'm now going to be refused. Yeah. I'm going to be refused because you know what?
What's this stuff?
Because unlike the rest of you people
who pay everything with credit cards and never check your bills,
you never check your bills so you could be being hoodwinked.
Fleece.
I check my bills. I found something the other day on American Express. They were robbing me out of $180 because for a gift I got for somebody that I said, I'm paying with points on this. And I called them and they made it right.
Sons of bitches.
But this happens. Now, Michael's of the age. You have them deduct stuff from your accounts. Do you go over your bills?
I go over every single one of my bills. Yes, when it makes sense, I do have, you know, automatic debits from those accounts. But I do check it. Yeah. It's interesting. You're coming at this from your age in a different way than I would. I worry about these cashless, it's mostly cashless stores that you're thinking
about.
Don't
like it.
And they're trying to say, this is for you, this is to save time, this is for the consumer. This is so they can segregate who's walking into their store. There are a lot of barriers as to what you have to go through to have a line of credit, to have these apps. And I worry about that side of it.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I just don't want to always use credit cards. I believe in cash.
You do.
I go to banks, get cash.
Right.
Nobody works in banks anymore. Everything's going to end. This is the end of America. This and this stupid wall.
He predicted the SAG-AFTRA Awards, folks.
Pay attention.
Right.
Speaking of going into banks, maybe it's Capital One. Have you seen these ads for this new coffee shop bank concept?
They're making coffee shops. It's Capital One, and they are making
Have you seen
you
these,
can
Tony?
Hang
oh.
out.
Oh, it's going to yeah, drive gonna, you nuts if you see this.
It's a coffee bar in the bank. They're trying to get you to go back into the bank.
And hang
I
out
go in the day. Bank.
Yeah, but this you wouldn't
no,
recognize
it would,
this
no,
bank.
No, it'd get you in the bank.
It looks like a
money.
Starbucks.
I just think this
I haven't carried I haven't had $20 in cash on me in 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. No. I just don't have it. I just don't. My wife always gets mad because we go places where you're supposed to tip, and I just stiff them. I mean, that's my way.
Well, yeah, that's what you
but,
do.
Right. She's like, why do you never have any money?
I have money.
They I ch- never have
cash. Why what? Should I tip them? They just brought us dinner.
Like, I give money. Like, when I park my car.
Yeah, a hundo. We know.
You got to tip the valet.
Yeah. Here's $100.
Yeah.
Go get yourself go get yourself something nice.
No, but right. So nobody cares about cash anymore.
No.
There should be discounts. There should be discounts for cash.
Eventually, there will be a barcode on your wrist, which will be a bit dodgy.
I'm
and you'll swipe
a
that.
Yeah,
and
just a chip in your head.
Michael
Saylor
wanted that microchip right at the base of your skull. Just
so you know what I want to see?
Installed
the wall?
At birth.
No, I don't want to see the wall. I want to see the Breslin and Hamill documentary.
Oh, yes.
I want to see that. I'm tired of these dilettante TV reviewers. You know, who look at Jimmy Breslin and Pete Hamill, and they think they're like troglodytes, and they don't exist anymore because they're not all embracing of every single person out there and their problems and their feelings. No, these are tough guys.
He's on a streak today, folks.
They write tough guy comics. Jimmy Breslin and Pete Hamill are great. They were great forever and ever and ever. Now, I understand that what they wrote then would not be in favor now. That doesn't mean they weren't great for their time.
Did you read the Pete Hamill memoir?
Did not.
Drinking a Life, I think it's called. Oh, wow. Don't type drinking into the internet. Whoa.
What happens?
Well, just a lot of pictures.
Yeah,
may
you.
Be fired soon. drinking Hamill. I read it a long time ago. A Drinking Life, a memoir by
Pete
Hamill.
He's a great writer. Yeah. He and Breslin were great. Yeah. Breslin was larger than life. I don't know that Hamill was, but Breslin was
available on
than
your
life.
Local Amazon. So, speaking of cash.
This is by Jonathan Walter. He did the documentary. Wasn't he with Newsweek forever
yes,
and ever
he
and
was.
Ever?
Yep.
Very
and
good,
MSNBC.
Very talented.
Yep.
By the way,
talented.
I just want to point out, when you do type in drinking into Google, this is what comes up.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to get.
Australian stripper under fire for drinking beer from a didgeridoo.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
I will tell you, that's not
too.
What came up for me. So I don't know what you guys.
That's what came up for me. I was a little bit.
I get drinking water, drinking meme.
Are we going to, or is the government going to close down again?
Sure.
Trump said yesterday in an interview with the Wall Street Journal that it's less than 50-50 that he thinks they'd make a deal. I think what's going to happen is they will not make a deal. You know, there's now a conference committee. There's 19 people. I don't know what's happening outside.
No, he's cleaning up.
Oh.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
There's 19 members of Congress on a conference committee that they're supposed to try to figure out funding for the wall / border / steel / fencing. And I think they will not do that to his satisfaction. And at the end of it, he will declare a national emergency.
And build a wall.
And use that money, that military funding, and there'll be a huge legal fight, but it'll be a protracted legal fight. So he'll be able to say, I got wall funding, even though he eventually may not, because he's taking money, if he does do a national emergency, he's taking money that's been allocated by Congress for something entirely different.
Right.
So can he take the money and start to build while
yes.
it's being litigated?
Take the money and run.
Yes. You can declare a national emergency
on
and
anything.
Allocate money, take money that's allocated elsewhere and say, we need it for
this
purpose.
Isn't that what happens with hurricanes?
Yes. The issue is... The legal fight will be over. Is
not
this
after
an actual
45
emergency?
Days of hand wringing. Yeah,
is
I mean, if it were an emergency.
But that's, I think, what will happen. So I don't think the government will. That would not mean the government would shut down again. It would just mean he would declare a national emergency.
Oh, so you don't think the government will shut down
again?
I don't.
I think at the end of it, he is sufficiently cowed by the government shutdown that he clearly. I mean, he did. Look, he starts the government shutdown
he would
saying,
declare
we
the
need
emergency.
A wall.
He
we
would
need a wall. He ends it saying. Well, we don't have any money for the wall, but we're going to reopen the government for 3 weeks. I mean,
he declares the emergency to avoid the second shutdown.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
But he won, right?
Yes.
He
always wins.
As I declared on the Thursday show, he won. I don't know why it's complicated. says he wins, it's...
he wins. Yeah. All right. We'll be back. We'll be back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hello. Here comes Tony's mailbag. We've got your emails and notes. It's Mr. Tony's mailbag. We'll read some for you folks. Well, maybe not your email. It's neither smart nor funny, nor is it a haiku.
It's the Reverend Mark Schaefer. Cooper.
Beautiful.
It's really well
done. Let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. Let me thank our sponsors, Lowe's, Framebridge, and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Jeff Jackson in San Antonio, Texas, a few months ago, we adopted a Great Pyrenees weighing 104 pounds. We were trying to name him when he walked up to my wife and she said, "Hi, big guy," and I immediately said his name is Walton. She liked it, asked where it came from. I explained the story and where I heard it, and long story short, his name is George now. Oh. There are some additional things I need to catch up on. I also sleep facing out, but on the right. Lunch, slice of pizza, neighbor, retired plumber, snack down, Cheez-Its.
They're delicious. Cheez-Its are
okay. Yeah. Eric Schaefer in North Dakota. And we have people here today, by the way, from New Hampshire. That's a long
one. Oh, the Granite State.
Labrador Retriever, 81 pounds, can take a loaf of bread down in about 20 seconds, only needs a sliver of the plastic bag sticking out of the bread drawer to accomplish that feat. When my 12-year-old sneaks her a treat, I can hear him say, "Eat it, Saliza."
Huh.
Dennis McCann in Bayfield, Wisconsin. I'll be brief. Hot dog, 4 ounces. That's funny. Chuck in Leonardtown, Maryland. Myself and the woman I'm related to by marriage have 3 Yorkies. Pinky, Pookie, and Hope. 15 pounds combined. Shout out to my brother-in-law, Raul Mondragon, from El Paso, Texas, who I introduced to your show when we were driving around Germany. He weighs in at about 225. He doesn't mind the golf talk, but he doesn't like the Bootsy stories.
Who doesn't like Bootsy stories?
Bootsy! Yeah. The baby boy Bootsy. Yeah. Nothing but stories. Greg Archbold in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Isn't that where they did the...
the nuclear testing, right?
Yeah. Treeing Walker Coonhound, 33 pounds, but with only 3 legs.
Ooh,
he lost a right leg right before we rescued him. A guy at the dog park once asked me, "Has he always had 3 legs? I answered, "Yes, he used to have 4, but he's always had 3. That's funny. Brian in East Newmarket. I have a dog behind me, a beagle, that has 3 legs as well. Brian, East Newmarket, Maryland. Jesse doesn't like that dog.
Really?
No, yeah. Jesse's
just bad blood.
Doesn't like that dog, yeah.
There's issues.
Brian in East Newmarket, Maryland. Love you, love the show, but can you record Michael's demo tape for the Golf Channel off air? You see, I'm usually driving while listening to the podcast, and it's hard to stay on the road. Thanks a million. Michael always prints up the negative things.
He loves the Michael bashing.
Michael, don't self-flagellate.
Ryan from Mercer, Pennsylvania. With the Super Bowl this Sunday, I have to contribute to Tony's sports books, the prop bets on the Super Bowl. Some of my favorite include which coach's age will be closer to the combined points, color of liquid dumped on the winning coach, and number of Donald Trump tweets on February 3rd. Ooh. I'm sure Jeff Ma will have some narrative about these, and I'm sure the poo thrower will take the sleepy-eyed meet the press host. From Steve the Sycophant, I was tremendously impressed by your statement that emus are big. You've come a long way since you had trouble differentiating apes from monkeys. Now, if we can get you to explain the difference between emus, cassowaries, and ostriches, you'll be on your way to total knowledge of Mother Nature. Then on to history. Nuclear physics can wait for another era. From Steve Clemenson in Edgewater, Maryland. Why would anyone pay Saliza to do a speech?
So true.
More importantly, how do you get kindergartners to sit still that way? From Tim Mobley in Odenton, Maryland, Luke proudly interjecting, "I use a sleep mask" during the Brooklinen ad was classic.
So
if Saliza is lace, then Luke is now satin. My dog Lisa is a Diet Coke away from 85 pounds.
Very chill guy.
Oh, here's a mural. Here's a mural. This looks very good. It's a Muriel Bowser. It looks like an Andy Warhol thing of Muriel Bowser.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And it's from Nick in Minneapolis. My free art submission to Chatter, the Muriel mural.
Oh, that's
10
cool.
10 feet, 4 feet by 4 feet images of Mayor Muriel Bowser. This took me all of 2 minutes on my iPhone. Art is easy. Eat it, McManus. Dog stats. Brick,
that?
A plot hound, 62 pounds, 5 dead rabbits, at least that I have witnessed. Dan from
Menace.
Sydney, which may be Sydney, Australia. It disappointed in Luke.
When you talked
about Billy Joel crashing a Mercedes, I was waiting for the show's resident man of the people to say, "Oh, I was in that Mercedes with Billy after we sailed in from the Amalfi Coast. Nice guy."
So true.
He's the 1% of 1%ers. Ross Mandel, Arlington, Virginia. 2019's 3 least surprising facts. Wilbon knew all 3. 3. Tony departs pre-tip from the Wizards-Warriors game. Yeah.
Not
2. FPC's a World Series title for the Nats. And 1. Luke wears a sleep mask. Does the mask actually say, "I sleep 1% better than everyone on it"? Or perhaps tomorrow I'll be on a yacht in the Bahamas? Come on, man. From Tim Rundle. Are you sure that Luke and Reginald are not the same person, same social circle, ever seen them in the same room together? This is Lewis. He sends a picture, 120 pounds at 9 months, at the Pups in the Park, Dodger Stadium. That's from Tim Rundle. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Where's the cake?
My ears.
Sense of time, got my central arc. I remember things that we took apart. Every now and then it's all very fine. Every now and then you're a friend of mine. Then we run, we run, we run, we run, run. Hauling in the rain and the bone apart. Wait a sec, I think I might have missed a join and decay, then you pull a rug. Tell a nodding head what you're thinking of, and then you run, you run, you run, you run, 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 you run, you run, you run, run. Stabbing down the street, life's a popsicle. It's impossible. Every now and then you run the bolts. Spain of your brain, yeah, it's wonderful. For a run, a run, a run, a run, 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 a run, a run, a street, life's a popsicle. Everybody melts, it's impossible. Every now and then you run the bolts. Spain of your brain, yeah, it's wonderful. For a run, a run, a run, a run, 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 a run, a run, a run.
Chips and veggie dips in case you need a snack. Is there something I forgot to put in your lunch bag?
How about some chocolate cake and some mac and cheese? Throw in a hot fudge sundae. The red cherry, please.
There's a big kale salad sprinkled with some low-fat goat's milk cheese, yogurt with no trans fats, and a cup of nice chickpeas, some almond milk granola, and a gluten-free cupcake. Have I left out anything that you might like to take?
I want some chocolate cake and a PB&J, some stuffing and gravy.
A big juicy